We are going to get started on our next section concerning weeping. But I've got a lot of introductory stuff, as you know. I'm kind of given to that, and I kind of like doing it. I thought it was pretty cool this week. One of our fallen soldiers in Afghanistan, his mom didn't want to have anything to do with President Biden. They had the funeral in Indiana, in a little town, a little tiny town. There were thousands and thousands of people there. There were 1,000 motorcyclists rode in front of the procession. And they honored this grand young man, a young man taken away from us. I thought that was really nice. I really like that. Let's pray. Father, we pray for today as we talk about a subject that, frankly, I don't want to talk about, but we got to do it. And we pray for help and wisdom to do it right. In Jesus' name, amen. Anybody want to share something spiritual happening in your life? Maybe you led somebody to Christ this week. Anybody? Anybody got anything? All right. I went to the U of M football game a week ago yesterday. I left at my house at 5 o'clock, okay? Went with a buddy of mine. He had the ticket, free of charge to me. $134.
Oh, my. That's ridiculous.
108,000 people were there. Anyway, nobody had masks on, by the way. 200 people had masks on. I don't know how many, but nobody. But anyway, it was fun. It was fun. I went at 5 o'clock. I got home at 1:40. And guess how long the game lasted? 11 minutes. The actual playing time of the game was 11 minutes. Can you imagine a Christian wasting his day for that much football? Look it up. Nobody believes me when I said that. Hey, guess what? Pastor Bob, right now, somewhere in this building, has 31 new members in our class. Isn't that great? 31 new ones that are, you know, going through the 8-week training. And I'm on the finance committee, and I want to tell you something. In the last 2 weeks, a young little boy gave $5 into the collection plate to help God's work. Amen? Isn't that wonderful? He gave $5 of his allowance to the Lord's work. And somebody 10 days ago, anonymously, it came through the Wealth Management Bank out of New York City, gave $18,000 anonymously to this church.
Wow.
We have been behind budget, which is no big deal. We've been behind budget for like 20 weeks. Guess what? As of last week's offering, including that 18, we're ahead of budget.
Yeah.
I mean, the Lord, and you know, it's just wonderful. Absolutely wonderful.
Yes.
Hey, guess what? John MacArthur, my buddy. I don't know him. I've been to his church twice, though. But both times that Pam and I went, he didn't preach. So disappointed. So disappointed. But anyway, he won $800,000 in a lawsuit against the government of California.
Praise God.
Oh, I love that brother.
Yes.
I love that brother. And guess what? Faith Christian School. Little dinky Faith Christian School out there. You know, anybody, you've heard of it? They got 80 new students this year.
Praise
80.
Lord.
Wow, that's awesome.
You know what? My kids went to a Christian school from the time they were born. Their mother. And we put, you know, we sacrificed a lot of money to get them through the Christian school. But I want to tell you something. We Christians are fed up.
Amen, brother.
With the garbage that's going on in our schools and what they're trying to pull.
That's right.
Okay? This critical race thing and all, I'm sorry. I get upset about it. Ann, did I say it right, Ann?
Yes, sir.
Amen. I'm going to be with her at Fraser High School shortly.
Good.
We're going to be at the board meeting. It's coming up. Try and do a little good. We'll be gracious, but we will be firm.
Robin Norvick's on the board, Fraser.
I know. Pray for her. Wednesday night. You know, you guys are all working and coming home from work, and, you know, Wednesday night, you want to come to a Wednesday night class. And last week we started the classes, and And, you know, you're tired and weary. You want to take a class on parenting. You want to take a class how to have a good marriage, how to read the Bible better. You know, good practical teaching. So I sign up for Terry O'Brien. I love Terry O'Brien's teaching. I sign up for his Revelation class. 55 people in the Revelation class. And it was dynamic. I mean, it was absolutely dynamic. When he speaks, they're like repeating the phrases that he's about to use, right? I mean, in the class, mm-hmm. I mean, there's like vibration going on yeah. in the class. And where's Professor Z? Is she here today? Ziola? Where's Z? Hey, where is she? There she is. How many do you have in your class?
Last count, we have 38 women.
38? And guess what we were studying? 38. Revelation. My goodness, we had almost 90 people studying Revelation on Wednesday night. Can I hear an amen?
Amen. Hallelujah.
Get a little wound up, bro.
I like statistics, excuse me. And where is Dennis the Menace? Where's he at? I don't see him here today. Yeah. I want to thank the Christian community. Pastor Bob last week mentioned that he and two other brethren had gone over to pray for Christian Sam. Let me tell you what. Is Joy here today? They're in a bad way. Okay? It is not good. It is good, but it's not good.
Right.
If you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And it's wonderful how so many people are caring for these people and taking dinners over and so on. Not even in our class. Joyce done a fantastic job, but also in other groups. It's wonderful, okay? And the two guys that he mentioned was Mike and I. We went with Bob to pray with him. So it was good.
Timmy Price might be coming home tomorrow.
Wow. Timmy Price, little Timmy Price. Going through something you never want your child to go through.
Pray for his appetite, little effects from the chemo, and effectiveness of the treatment.
Yes. The weeping sheet that I gave you, bring it each week for a couple of weeks. You know, I'm not going to make more copies for next week. Are there any more left? Tracy, anything? A few left? Okay. I made 60. I want to say a few things before. Any other questions or comments? I want to say a few things before we really get going here. And some of the things I'm going to say in the beginning, I didn't put in the outline. You can write it on the back of that one sheet. There's a blank. One sheet has a blank page if you want to take notes. I figure there's at least one or two people that want to take notes, you know. You know, I understand. One or two. I understand. I know all about that. But anyway, I want to say a few things before about this whole issue. First of all, and I've been meditating on this, Tony, for 2 weeks. It stayed with me for 2 weeks. It's not often somebody says something that stays with me for very long, okay? I mean, I can barely remember a name anymore. But anyway, Tony mentioned that the Apostle Paul was one. I said he was one of the greatest men that's ever lived.
That's right.
We certainly feel that way. And you said, and one of the most suffering Christian men you would ever find. And then we had mentioned in that verse in Corinthians where Paul said, with all of this suffering, he said, light affliction. This has been with me for 2 weeks now. Light affliction, he says. Are you kidding me? Light affliction? Yeah, light affliction. Why? And that was the point we brought out. First of all, life is incredibly short on this earth. So it's short. And second of all, the resurrection. Jesus is going to resurrect me to be with him forevermore. Those two in place, Paul could honestly say, light affliction? Boy, that just stayed with me, Tony. It really stayed with me for 2 weeks. Thank you. Amen?
Amen.
It's wonderful. Now, I want to tell you something. I didn't want to do this lesson. I didn't even want to do this lesson on suffering. But the church said we had to do it. So, and Mike said, you're the man. And I'm sure you're looking forward for me being done. I don't blame you. You're going to have Jerry Benge. I can't wait till Jerry comes. Well, you don't have to say that. But I want to tell you something. I didn't want to do this. I really didn't. Today's subject is on weeping. You know, come on. Are you kidding me? How can you weep? Look at that. Look at that sky. Huh? How can you weep? By the way, brother, Thursday, I rode 35 miles.
Cool.
On my bike.
Cool.
He's got an electric bike and I don't.
Yeah, but I can go 70.
I went from Port Huron. I said to Pam, she had to take care of one of the grandchildren. I said, I got to do this. I went from Port Huron to Marine City and back.
Wow.
Oh, that's a beautiful ride. That's a beautiful ride. I really enjoyed that. I don't know what it's called. Boy, it was fun. A little dangerous through St. Clair, though.
Yeah.
They need a better trail. But boy, Marysville's got a great path. But anyway, I know you're saying, get to the lesson, for crying out loud. Ecclesiastes 3.
That's a good one.
I'm not going to comment it at all. I was going to play that song. Does anybody know?
Oh, yeah. Yardbird.
A time to get up, a time to sit down, a time to weep, a time to laugh. I swear it's not too late. You know, the whole bit. But there it is. A time to weep. Here the writer of Ecclesiastes describes life. It's brief, brothers and sisters. It's brief.
Amen.
And these are the events that come around. Okay? But it's a great chapter if you want to read it. I want to talk about the word lament. Lament. Somebody give me a four-word definition of lament. Anybody know what it means?
Pain, sorrow, grief, and mourning.
There it is. Okay? The Bible talks about this a lot. Okay? It's a big part of the Bible. Weeping and crying. Lament. Weeping and crying in times of distress and grief. Okay? I'm reading through that Jerusalem book. It's this thick. I remember I said a summer read. I've only got 100 pages done because I got 3 books I'm reading right now. But my goodness, the suffering that the Jews went through and the suffering that the Christians went through in that locale is just amazing. Just amazing. So sad. Now, some of the Psalms are expressions of frustrations with God. And I'm going to say some things here, and some of you can correct me if you think I'm way off. But some of these guys are really upset with what's happening in their life, rightfully so, okay? It is not right for us to simply say to a person in grief and sorrow, pull yourself together, man. Get off that chair and get working. Now, there may be times to say, but I would be very careful to talk that way.
That's
if
right.
I were you. Be very careful.
I agree.
Jesus Christ is attracted to hopeless cases. Okay?
That's right.
He's attracted to
That's right.
You know? He takes people who are broken beyond repair and repairs them.
Amen.
And I got a few of them coming to my house tonight, right, Russ?
Yep.
He's one of the broken guys right there. I'm just kidding around, Russ, sorry.
No, we're all broken.
By the way, Russ Arbuckle is visiting in our class, and he's in our small group, you know. He was the number 3 man in the fire department in the city of Detroit. Could I give him a hand? You talk about a nightmare job. How many years, brother?
Over 38.
38 years.
Wow. Thank you.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah, thank you.
Wonderful. Jesus is attracted to hopeless situations. It says in Psalm 147, verse 3, Isaiah 61 and 1, the Lord binds up the brokenhearted and he heals our wounds.
That's right.
Okay? He's in the mending business. Suffering people need to weep. They needed a place where they can pour out their hearts. These hyper-Calvinist people, I grew up with hyper-Calvinism to some degree. I agree with a lot of it, but there's some I don't agree with. They kind of act like, oh, if you're really a true follower of Christ, you don't cry. You don't weep. Get up out of your chair and get moving. I don't agree with that.
Right.
I think this we're going to show from Scripture. There is a time for weeping. Okay? I read this week in preparation for this class. By the way, those of you that are new, I want to show you something. I have not had an original thought in about 62 years. Okay? And in preparation for this class, these are my... I went to these sources. I listed them because I don't want to be accused of... what do they call that where you cheat? Huh? Plagiarism. So here they are. If you want to look them all up, they're all right here. And check me out. Okay? So as I was preparing this lesson, there were... I thought it was going to be kind of cold today. I wore this.
I'm
about ready to take my shirt off. I'm about ready to take my shirt off, but I don't think that would be right. I read the story of a man, a Christian man. Can't even say this one. He lost his only three children, their sons, in less than 2 weeks. And they were less than 10 years old. You want to talk about weeping? Huh? You want to talk about weeping? And he wrote the most wonderful testimony. The most wonderful testimony. If I remember right, Amazing Grace was written by a man who had just lost his family.
If John I remember. Newton was the author of that.
Okay.
He was a slave.
Then I might have the wrong one.
Yeah, I think you're
one of the most famous.
It is
well with my soul. One of my favorite hymns was written by a man who lost his family.
Right.
Amazing.
At sea.
There is no sadder prayer in all of the Psalms. We're not going to go to it, but this is kind of introductory stuff. There is no sadder song in all of the Psalms than Psalm 88. It was written, as best as I can tell, by a guy named Heman, H-E-M-A-N. The Ezraite. The last word of the psalm in the Hebrew text means darkness. Now here's what he says. Darkness is my closest friend. And he says to God, you aren't. Huh? Wow. A believer can live right. A believer can be walking with Christ, have the Spirit of God ruling in his life, okay? And there may be times of darkness in your life. Darkness may symbolize either a difficult circumstance or an inner spiritual state of pain. And there are times in our life, folks, when this may happen. Okay? The key is, are we going to find grace to overcome it? Can anybody relate to this?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
Can you? Russ?
Yeah. 2 years ago, you know the story. My son was on...
A little louder.
My son was on prescription drugs and alcoholic.
Yep.
And he tried to commit suicide twice.
Yep.
So we sent him up to Flint to Life Challenge. Now, Life Challenge deals with that. And they stay there a year. You cannot see them or talk to them for the first month. And then after that, you're only allowed 2 hours on Sunday to talk to them, go see them. And he stayed there.
For 1 year?
For 1 year. He could not come home at Christmas because he would be associated with people drinking, nothing like that. And it was a dark time.
Yeah.
During that period, it said rejoice in suffering. So I asked Joe,
Acero.
How can we have joy when we're going through, my wife and I? And he said, well, you don't know what's at the end of the door, I mean, at the end of the road. And he came to Christ while he was up there.
Yeah.
And wow. Turned himself around. Now he's going to church, and so he's like a totally different person.
Wonderful. Amen?
Amen.
A changed life.
Amen.
You can pray for Danny. He just had an operation in which they cut him from here to here.
Right.
There was a mass here, but no cancer. How old is he?
46.
What'd you do, get married at 10?
No, I did not.
These experiences can reveal God's grace.
Amen.
In new depths, folks. And it may happen. Okay? Now we're going to go to the outline. Okay? Any thoughts? Any thoughts before we start? Any of what has been said already? It sounds like some of you can relate to what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
Huh? If you got teenage kids, you can really relate. I remember one time, my one daughter, I won't say who, because she'd be mad I told this. My one daughter hid some cigarettes in the bushes, and I saw them. I saw her do it. Because I don't know, I don't. Anyway, so we get in the car, and I said to her, why are those cigarettes in the bushes? And she about went crazy. I said, I don't ever want to see a cigarette around this house ever again. And guess what? I never saw another cigarette.
She got
once in a while, huh? She may have. I don't think she ever smoked another cigarette. I could be wrong, but I don't. I'm going to go get her. Sarah, what do you think, Ross? What do you think, Ross? You think she did it? You think she ever did it again?
I don't think so.
I don't think so. She went to a Christian school. She actually went on to become an all-state basketball player. You can't do basketball if you smoke.
I'd like to just say something.
Yeah, go ahead.
After seeing the documentary Show Me the Father, where Tony Evans is talking about how the Spirit of God flows down to a godly father, which you are, will totally bless your whole family.
Yeah.
So I believe she did smoke again.
But I don't think she's smoking now. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, amen. All right, let's start with this. What kind of time we got here now?
10 minutes.
That's all? I haven't even started.
Maybe 12.
I'm just teasing. Romans 8 verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought at times. But the Spirit Himself comes alongside of us, intercedes with us for us with groanings that are too deep for words. Anybody been through this?
Oh, yeah.
Huh? Groanings, you just can't say it all. And the Lord steps in and says it and brings it to the Father. Isn't that wonderful? Jeremiah 15. Why is my pain unceasing? He's talking to the Lord. Why are my wounds incurable? I'm refusing to be healed. Will you be to me like a deceitful brook, like waters that fail? How does he get away talking to God like that? Huh? Anybody understand?
Oh, yeah, I've done it a lot.
How do you get away with it?
He knows your heart. He knows that ultimately
Amen.
Love and respect and adore and worship and cherish him. But in our heartache, pain, sorrow, groaning, moaning,
yeah.
He understands the weakness of the flesh and he intercedes for us. And our sin has been forgiven.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
Trace?
In our study of Hebrews that some of the ladies and I are doing right now, I was reminded as we're sitting here talking about this that Hebrews 12 says that therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus.
Yeah.
Who is the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. When in our study this week, I was reminded that when we're focused on temporal things in life, they seem much more difficult. But when we focus on Christ and his return and what he endured for our sake and understand, we can do those wait, like David, you know, he would just pour out his heart and then he would self-talk.
Yes.
And say, but God is faithful, but whatever it is that he needs to do to change his way of thinking. And so as we go through these hard times, there is a help, and his name is Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Wonderful scripture. Psalm 44. If you haven't read this lately, I'm going to shock you. Awake! Why are you sleeping, Lord? Rouse yourself. Do not reject us forever. Why do you hide your face? Why do you forget our afflictions and our oppression? For our soul is bowed down to the dust. Our belly clings to the ground. Can you imagine saying it? Psalm 89. Lord, where is your steadfast love of old, which by your faithfulness you swore to David? I need help, Lord. I need help. Huh? Like I said, the early reformers created a culture where expressions of doubt or complaints were frowned upon and almost not allowed to cry. I kind of grew up in a home like that to some degree. Christians were taught not to weep or cry, but to show God their faith through unflinching, joyful acceptance of his will. Okay, I agree. But there's a time to weep. And there will be times to weep. There's value in weeping, is what we're trying to bring here. Okay? Now, this is not something that I find taught here at Cornerstone. Okay? But there are, undoubtedly, there are those who practice this and pass it on to their children. What do you think? Relate with me. What do you think? Huh? Yeah.
Very.
Yeah, go ahead, Tony.
Not just the reformers. I mean,
right.
There are segments of, you know, my background, what I came out of, some of the charismatic movement.
Yeah.
Where I remember there was an elder that told his kids not to cry at the funeral of their mom.
Yeah.
You know, because it was a lack. That was different. That was a lack of faith. That was the whole word of faithy thing.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, a lot of segments do that, you know.
I understand. You know, can you believe this guy used to be a charismatic?
No.
Did you ever speak in tongues? Biblical tongues?
No,
did you ever speak in biblical tongues?
It was learned in peer pressure.
Yeah.
I know that now.
Yeah.
Probably the most notable example in all of the Bible of someone who seemed to have, to me, justifiable cause to be upset about with his circumstances, and he lost everything, was Job. Okay? At that time, when he's reacting negatively towards his circumstances, okay, and he's being so-called encouraged by his wife and his friends, okay? In all this, the Bible says, Job 1, in all this, Job did never sinned. Wow. He never sinned. He actually never charged God with wrong. Okay? And in all this, Job did not sin with his lips. Wow. Huh?
Yeah.
I took a lesson with Keith Kaner for like 12 weeks one time on Job. He wrote a book about Job. And he never sinned that way. pretty incredible. And I mean, he lost it all. The point is that Job did not hold anything back when he was talking to the Lord. He was straightforward in his comments, okay? But he never sinned. Any comment on that? We're called to live this way, folks.
That's right.
Okay? We're called to live this way. Galatians 5, 22, 23, look at this one. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There's a time to weep, but not be out of control. I don't want to be wailing, but I find myself crying. And as I was talking this week with some of my friends and stuff, one of my dear sisters in Christ said, Barry, there's been two times in my life, she's probably 50 years old, there's been two times in my life, she said, where I cried so hard about my children and where they were going. It wasn't Pam, by the way. She said, I cried so hard that I was absolutely on the ground, almost not able to breathe. She said, I was just in an agony. You know? Wow. It's really something. All right, now I've got tears and I can't see anymore. Okay, look at Galatians 5. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Huh? We should not assume that if we are trusting in God, we will not weep or feel even anger at times. And maybe even times of hopelessness.
Right.
There may be brief times of doing that. Can you relate?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. There may be times for that. All right. Here's Elijah. Any comments? Go ahead. You guys are really quiet today.
Barry, you mentioned Job's
yes.
so-called friends.
Yes, yeah.
What?
Real buddies.
You know what? His buddies came and sat with him for 7 days.
Yep.
And they cried with him.
Yes.
And they didn't say a thing for 7 days.
Right.
How many of us are willing to weep with somebody and shut our mouths for seven days before we mouth off?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, we got to give them a little credit, eh?
Yeah.
In fact, I'm going to go way off target because of that. Tracy?
I'm reminded, too, that, you know, we can't imagine going through what Job did, right? Because
no.
God has not...
That was special grace.
Special grace that we can do that. If the time comes in our lives that those kinds of catastrophic things happen, we have to know that God is gracious.
Amen.
And can comfort. Is it going to be hard? You bet.
Yep.
But there's that supernatural peace and grace that was applied when needed.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to go way off target. David?
I just want to say something. I think I respectfully, lovingly disagree.
Go ahead.
Special grace. It's grace.
It's grace.
Yeah.
Okay, Hebrews 4.
It's grace that's special.
Grace and help in the time of need.
I agree.
Now Job had a tremendously deep need.
Yes.
All his kids, everything. And, but it's the same grace we get.
Amen.
Grace of God.
Yes, thanks for the correction.
We could argue it's an extra measure. Could we say that? It's that.
Yeah. He got more because he needed more.
Right.
More grace.
I'm sure I'm not the only one, but maybe I have been. I've had circumstances in my life, especially when I was younger in the Lord, where events in my life, catastrophic, face down, a wailing over circumstances where I had gotten angry at God for things that happened in my life. I asked for deliverance from this. I asked him to relieve this. I asked him to build this house on the rock. And it didn't matter. The house was shaking. And through my anger, I had you can take two paths. You can either take a path of continued embrace or a path of anger. I was angry. I stepped away. I was a prodigal. I stepped away for 7 years. God shook my life.
Wow.
to the point where everything was taken away from me. Borderline health. The house, everything, and then I got to the point where I'm destroying my life. And at that point, I recommitted my heart to the Lord, and I watched God systematically restore my life.
Wow. Wonderful.
You sure with the locus of obedience?
Yes. Because I made a bad choice out of anger. I should have been obedient, and I did not. It was a test of my faith, which was weak at that time.
Lord, we thank you.
Amen.
I want to thank you, Lord, for doing this to this dear brother.
Yes.
What a difference it's made.
Yes.
I've had some near-death experiences with health and heart attacks and strokes and all that. And what's always worked for me, and I can't promise it'll work for you, but what has worked for me is when Paul was in prison, and I can't quote the scripture and verse, but when he said, it matters less if I live or if I die, I'm loving the Lord.
Light and affliction.
That's helped me get through it.
Amen.
I got okay with the thought that I might die.
Amen.
Wow. Hey, don't blow the horn. Don't blow the horn. I want to go. I got 2 minutes, but I might be three. I know I can't. I can't go three? Well, just one. Go to this sheet here. I'll just read it. See this sheet that just has a half a page? This is from Tim Keller's book. I mean, Tim Keller is only a guy that has started 330 churches worldwide. He's got 5,000 meeting today in New York City, okay? And Tim Keller had pancreatic cancer, okay? Pancreatic cancer has a 97% kill rate, and he survived it. And when he was going through this, and I just want to read this, and then we'll close. I have done this. I have a big mouth. I have done this in the last 14 days twice, visiting dying people. I've tried to do this. Look at this. Because I read this, I had been reading this. I was sitting, I was torn by grief. Someone came and talked to me of God's dealings, of why it happened, of hope beyond the grave. He talked constantly. He said things I knew were true. I was unmoved, except to wish that he would go away, and he finally left. Isn't that interesting? Be careful what you do when you visit dying people. Another brother came, and he sat beside me. He didn't talk hardly at all. He didn't ask leading questions. He didn't have his little buzzwords in his hip pocket. He just sat beside me for an hour, maybe more. He listened. And when I said something, he answered briefly. He prayed, and then he simply left. I was moved. I was comforted. I hated to see him go. Isn't that good?
Yeah, it really is.
Let's pray. Lord, we'll get to the rest of this lesson, Lord willing, next week. But thank you for what we see here. Remarkable things in our lives. Praying in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Have a great week, guys.
You too. Brother.